This article is brought to you by the best-selling book site Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to approach a difficult conversation when you are representing others who do not want to speak up themselves. Carry someone else's concern into a hard conversation without losing your footing. In short, representing others in a difficult conversation is one of the most demanding things you can do at work. You carry someone else's concern into a room where they cannot or will not go themselves. Do it without a clear process, and you risk your credibility, their trust, and the outcome they needed. Get an explicit mandate before you speak. Know exactly what you are authorized to say and what you must protect. Frame the issue around shared impact, not individual complaint, so the conversation stays on the problem rather than the people. Report back honestly, win or lose, so the people who trusted you know their voice was heard. Definition: difficult conversation representing occurs when you speak up in a challenging workplace discussion on behalf of colleagues who cannot or will not raise the issue themselves. You act as a trusted voice for shared concerns, navigating the tension between honesty, confidentiality, and a productive outcome. There was a man I worked with years ago. Sharp, well-regarded, deeply trusted by his team. His colleagues were struggling with a manager whose behaviour was making work genuinely difficult, and they asked him to speak up. He agreed, walked into that conversation without any real preparation, and started improvising. He named one colleague by accident under pressure. He promised outcomes he had no authority to deliver. He came out of the room having said too much and settled too little. The people who trusted him felt exposed. The manager felt ambushed. Nothing improved. A difficult conversation is hard enough when you're speaking for yourself. When you're representing others who do not want to speak up themselves, the stakes double. You're carrying weight that is not entirely yours into a room where you must remain clear, composed, and trustworthy all at once. This article gives you the preparation, the process, and the exact language to do that well. Why speaking up for others puts you in a different kind of pressure. When you speak for yourself in a hard conversation, you control the information. You decide what to reveal and what to hold back. You know your own limits. When you speak for others, that control is shared and often fragile. The people who asked you to step forward may not have told you everything. They may change their minds mid-conversation about what they want shared. Under pressure, the temptation to reveal a name or exaggerate the scale of a problem can catch you off guard before you realise what you've done. There is also a particular loneliness to this kind of conversation. You are not there for yourself. The personal investment is real, but the grievance is not yours alone, and that distinction matters when the person across from you pushes back hard. I have stood in that position more than once. The pressure does not ask for permission before it arrives. The only reliable answer I have found is preparation so thorough that when the pressure comes, you already know what you will say. What must be in place before you say a word? The preconditions matter as much as the conversation itself. Walking without these, and the ground shifts under you at the worst possible moment. A clear mandate. You must know, specifically, what your colleagues have asked you to raise. Not a vague sense of shared unhappiness. A clear statement of the issue, agreed before you walk in. If three people want different things from this conversation, resolve the disagreement among yourselves first. An agreement on confidentiality. Before the conversation, decide what can be attributed and what cannot. Can you say several people feel this way? Can you say I am not the only one? Are names completely off the table? Agree this explicitly. Do not leave it to instinct in the moment. A known boundary on promises. You are not in that room to negotiate a resolution on your colleague's behalf unless they have explicitly given you that authority. Know the difference between raising a concern and bargaining an outcome. Stay on the right side of that line. If you need support framing the collective concern before walking in, the approach described in How to Start a Difficult Conversation That's Blocking Your Team's Synergy is worth reading first. The process. How to represent others in a difficult conversation. Step 1. Draft your opening statement in writing. Write it down, not as a script to read from, but as a statement you practice until the words come naturally and without hesitation. Your opening should do three things: name your purpose, establish that you are speaking collectively, and describe the impact without assigning blame. A working example. I am here to raise something on behalf of several people on the team. This is not a formal complaint, but it is a real and ongoing concern. The issue is affecting how the team functions, and we felt it needed to be said directly. That is it. Short, direct, calm. Do not over-explain in the opening. You are creating a clear foundation, not launching a prosecution. Step 2. Name the issue around impact, not personality. This is where most people veer off course. They describe the person causing the problem rather than the effect of the problem. The moment you do that, the conversation becomes defensive. Keep your focus on what is happening and what it is costing the team. Instead of, the way you communicate makes people feel dismissed. Dry. When concerns are raised in team meetings and not acknowledged, people stop raising them. That is what is happening now, and it matters. The first version is an attack. The second is an observation about impact. The person across the table can engage with an observation. They can only defend against an attack. Step 3. Hold the line on confidentiality under pressure. You will likely be asked who specifically feels this way.
Prepare your answer before the conversation begins. A clean, direct response.
I am not going to name individuals. What I can tell you is that this is not an isolated feeling, and that is what I was asked to bring here. Say it once, clearly, and do not apologize for it. If the pressure continues, repeat the same sentence without variation. You are not being evasive. You are honoring a commitment you made. That is a position of strength, not weakness. This kind of boundary holding is closely related to the advocacy skills covered in how to use the value method to advocate for your team's synergy needs with senior leadership. Step 4. Listen as hard as you speak. After you have raised the concern, stop and listen. Really listen, not to form your counter-argument, but to understand what is actually being said in response. The person you're speaking with may have information you do not have. They may push back in ways that are, on reflection, fair. They may reveal that the issue has already been discussed at another level. None of that means you were wrong to raise it, but all of it deserves to be heard. Take notes if you can. Your colleagues will ask you later what was said, and you owe them an accurate account, not a version shaped by your own frustration or relief. For situations where the conversation tips into genuine conflict, the techniques in how to handle conflict during meetings offer practical grounding. Step 5. Stay inside your mandate. As the conversation moves, there will be moments where you're tempted to go further than you were asked to go, to promise something, to reveal a detail, to negotiate a concession on the spot. Before you do any of that, ask yourself, did the people who asked me to be here authorize this? If the answer is no, the right response is honest and simple. That is something I would need to take back to the group before I could speak to it. That sentence is not weakness. It is integrity. It keeps you inside the trust that was placed in you, and it keeps the conversation honest. Step 6. Close the conversation with a clear next step. Before you leave the room, name what happens next. Not an open-ended let's see how this goes, but a specific and agreed action. So we have agreed that you will address this in the next team meeting on Thursday. That is what I will report back. If no agreement was reached, say that plainly. We did not reach a resolution today, and I will need to let the team know that. Can we agree on a time to continue this conversation? A close that names the unresolved is better than a false close that leaves everyone pretending progress was made. The people who trusted you deserve a clear report, not a reassuring fiction. Step 7. Report back accurately and promptly. Go back to the people who sent you as soon as you reasonably can. Tell them what was said, what was agreed, what was not agreed. Where things stand, do not soften the result to protect their feelings. Do not sharpen it to justify the risk you took. Give them the truth of it, and give it clearly. Then ask them together, what do we do next? If the conversation did not go as hoped, how unmet needs drive team conflict, and what to say to restore synergy can help you think through what the team still needs, and how to name it. When the person you are speaking to refuses to engage, some managers dismiss the concern the moment it is raised. Others react with hostility or turn the issue back on the person raising it. This is one of the most demoralizing outcomes, because the people who trusted you are watching to see if speaking up made any difference. When you hit a wall, do not escalate inside the conversation itself. State what you observe and leave the door open. I hear that you see this differently. I want to be honest with you, the concern I have raised is real, and it is not going away. I'm not here to create a problem. I am here because I believe naming this is better than it continuing to sit underneath the surface. Then stop. Give the silence space to work. You have said what needed to be said. Pressing harder really opens a locked door. If dismissal becomes a pattern rather than a single difficult moment, the strategies in how to use the value method to advocate for tension resolution with a manager who dismisses the problem give you a structured approach for exactly this situation. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Where people go wrong when they represent others. The mistake: speaking without a real mandate, carrying a vague sense of discontent rather than a clear, agreed concern. Why it happens: the request to say something can feel urgent, and it is easy to move before everyone is aligned. What to do instead? Hold a brief meeting with the people you are representing before the conversation. Agree the specific issue, the specific outcome you are asking for, and the specific boundaries around disclosure. The mistake: revealing a name under pressure, even with good intentions. Why it happens: the other person asks directly, the silence feels accusatory, and the name slips out as a way of proving the concern is real. What to do instead? Prepare your refusal in advance and practice saying it without apology. Knowing the exact words you will use removes the vulnerability of having to find them in the moment. The mistake: overpromising on outcomes to manage the anxiety of the people you represent. Why it happens: you want to give them hope, and it feels cruel to return without a resolution. What to do instead? Be honest before the conversation begins about what is realistic. You are raising the issue. You are not guaranteeing the response. The mistake: letting the conversation drift from the concern into a broader debate about team culture or historical grievances. Why it happens: the other person deflects, or you feel pulled to justify the concern more fully. What to do instead? Return to your prepared impact statement each time the conversation wanders. I want to bring us back to the specific issue, because that is what I was asked to raise. For situations where things escalate during the discussion itself, how to de-escalate arguments during meetings, and how to use the deal method to diffuse tension between two colleagues who refuse to cooperate both offer concrete tools. Your pre-conversation readiness check. Use this before any conversation where you are representing others. Run through each item. If you cannot answer it clearly, resolve it before you walk in. Number 1. Mandate confirmed. I have spoken with the people I represent, and we have agreed on the specific concern I'm raising. Number 2. Confidentiality agreed. I know exactly what I can and cannot attribute, and I have practiced my response to being asked for names. Number 3. Opening statement drafted. I have written and practiced my opening. I can say it calmly without notes. Number 4. Impact framing ready. I am describing what is happening and what is disgusting, not characterizing the person responsible. Number 5. Promise boundary set. I know what I am authorized to agree to and what I must take back to the group. Number 6. Close prepared. I have a clear statement ready for how I will name the next step, whether or not agreement was reached. Number 7. Report back plan in place. I have told the people I represent when and how they will hear from me after the conversation. If you can answer every one of these clearly, you are ready. The weight you carry and the respect you earn. Stepping forward for people who cannot speak for themselves is an act of real courage. It is also an act that asks something lasting of you: the willingness to stay steady under pressure, to honour a confidence even when holding it is uncomfortable, and to report back honestly even when the news is hard. I have seen this done badly, and I have seen it done with extraordinary skill. The difference is almost never natural talent. It is preparation, clarity, and the kind of patient courage that trusts the process when the pressure is on. The people who asked you to represent them chose you for a reason. Honour that by preparing well, speaking clearly, and bringing them the truth of what happened, whatever it turns out to be. That is what difficult conversation representing looks like when it is done with care. And that kind of care, given consistently, is how lasting trust is built. Frequently asked questions. What is difficult conversation representing in the workplace? Difficult conversation representing means speaking up in a hard conversation on behalf of colleagues who have asked you to, but are unwilling or unable to raise the issue themselves. You carry their shared concern into a discussion they cannot or will not enter directly. How do you start a difficult conversation when speaking for someone else? Start by getting clear permission from the people you represent, then open the conversation with a direct, calm statement of purpose. Say whose concern you're raising, without naming individuals, and frame the issue around impact rather than blame to keep the tone productive. What should you say when representing colleagues in a difficult conversation? Use a simple framing statement such as, I'm raising something on behalf of the team that several people feel strongly about. Then describe the specific impact of the issue. Avoid naming individuals and avoid language that sounds like a formal complaint unless that is what your colleagues have requested. How do you protect anonymity when speaking up for colleagues? Agree before the conversation on exactly what can and cannot be shared. Use collective language such as several members of the team rather than naming anyone. If pressed for names, say clearly that identifying individuals is not something you are able to do, and redirect to the substance of the issue. What are the biggest mistakes when having a difficult conversation for others? The most common mistakes are speaking without a clear mandate, overpromising on outcomes, losing your own position in the conversation, revealing confidences under pressure, and failing to report back accurately to the people you represented. Each of these erodes trust fast. How do you stay calm in a difficult conversation when you're representing a group? Prepare your opening statement until you can say it without notes. Know in advance what you will and will not disclose. If the conversation becomes heated, slow your speech and return to the specific impact statement you prepared. You are a steady voice for others, not a combatant. What do you do after a difficult conversation when you have been speaking for others? Report back to the people you represented as soon as possible, accurately and without embellishment. Tell them what was said, what was agreed, and what remains unresolved. Then agree together on the next step, even if that next step is simply to wait and observe. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.